Glory to God. Well, we're going to continue. I was sort of just spending a lot of time being quiet and just trying to meditate or meditating on what to share this morning. And I believe I'm still going to stay right where I am, which is sharing on this theme of messages, the voice of faith. Because faith has a voice. But how many realize that faith, and we were sharing this a little before, faith is substance. You know, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And faith is heavenly. You know, I saw a scripture this morning, I was reading early this morning. Now, Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were what? Oppressed of the devil. And then it also says in James chapter 1, verse 17, it says that, they'll put that up on the screen in a moment. But James 1, 17, it says, every good gift does what? And every perfect gift is from where? From above. So God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good. Where did that anointing come from? Above. It came from above. And then, of course, in James 1:17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. So, what are good gifts? Faith, hope, love, joy, peace. These are what? Good gifts. And where do they come from? Above. What's not from above? Hate, fear, depression, sickness. That's not from above. So we need to just think about it. Colossians 3:1. It says, if ye then, well, let me read this from the New Living Translation. It says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Set your sights on the what? Realities of those things above. Not on the things that are in this earth. So we need to set our sights and our thinking and our heart on those things that are real and tangible and come from above. And what are they? Faith, hope, love, joy, peace. Those things are from above. And they're tangible. And the more we get involved, you know, I'm going to take a side journey here. Is that all right for a moment? But I'm just going to jump ahead here a little bit. But in, let me just get over here. It's in Timothy. But I wanted to read this. It's in in the Passion Translation, because it gives you a picture of today. And this is the Passion Translation, 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1, and we'll read down a little bit in this, and they'll put it up on the screen. And if you have it, you can follow along. But in the Passion Translation says, but you need to be aware that in the final days, the culture of society will become extremely fierce and difficult for the people of God. Well, that kind of sums up a little bit of what's going on. It says, people will be self-centered, lovers of themselves, and obsessed with money. They will boast of great things as they strut around in their arrogant pride and mock all that is right. They will ignore their own families. They will be ungrateful and ungodly. They will become addicted to hateful and malicious slander. Slaves to their desires, they will be ferocious, belligerent haters of what is good and right. With brutal treachery, they will act without restraint, bigoted and wrapped in clouds of their deceit. They will find their delight in the pleasures of this world more than the pleasures of the love of loving of the loving God. They may pretend to have a respect for God, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. It says, stay away from people like these. And then I'm going to jump down. Well, we'll continue in verse 6. It says, for they are the ones who worm their way into the hearts of vulnerable women, spending the night with those who are captured by their lusts and steeped in sin. Verse 7, they are always learning, but never discover the revelation knowledge of truth. History has given us an example of this with the Egyptian sorcerers, Jannes and Jambres, who stood against Moses in their arrogance. So it will be in the last days with those who reject the faith with their corrupt minds and arrogant hearts standing against the truth of God. But they will not advance, for everyone will see their madness just as they did with Jannes and Jambres. So I took the time to read that because we need to pursue the things that are above. Because what does it say in Hebrews 11:6? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So those things that are from heaven, we need to pursue. In faith, that pleases God. And just sharing along these lines that when we talk about God's word, and of course we'll go over there in a moment, but John 4:24, if you're familiar, it says that it opens that verse up, it says, God is a spirit. And then in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 26, it says, God said, let us make man and us, our image and likeness. So what does that make us? A spirit. We are a spirit, or we have a spirit. We are a spirit. We live in this body, and we have a soul. So the real you, when if Jesus tarries and you expire, you die, the real you is not being put in the ground. The real you is either going to spend eternity with him in heaven or eternity in hell. And that's the real you. And so those good and perfect gifts come down from heaven above, and where do they reside? In the real you. In the real you. In your spirit. And so that which is in you, that's why we need to speak This is what 2 Corinthians 4:13 says. We who have believed, therefore we speak. So faith comes from the heart. The heart is the real me. And God's word is spiritual. Because why? God's a spirit. And his word that he spoke is spiritual. And a lot of times, I'm taking a little time here, because faith comes by hearing. Faith in anything, faith for good or bad, comes by you continually hearing it. And you begin to do what? Form an opinion. And that opinion then moves to belief. And then that which you become opinionated, you become, well, bless God, absolutely, that's the way it is. You could be listening to something negative and keep listening to it, and you form an opinion and you believe that. Isn't that what the world calls marketing? And they know that. You keep listening to something, you got to go get one or eat it or something or other. So everything, those words that are spoken are containers of something spiritual. Because whether you're saved or not, you're a spirit. Did you ever think about that? Whether you're saved or not, you're a spirit. You're made in the image and likeness of God. And so the words spoken by individuals, that's why we keep saying, watch what you read, watch what you listen to, watch what you watch, because words spoken are containers out of the heart of the individuals that either sang it, wrote it, whatever. And they're containers of either death or life. Period. And so what we listen to gets down, they're seeds, and they get down into your spirit. And if you keep watering it with the same stuff, you'll get a harvest. And it may not be the harvest you want. So that's why it's important to keep feeding on the word of God. Jesus spoke in John 6:63. He said what? It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth little. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are life. So God's words are containers of his very nature. And if we get that down into our spirit and we keep listening to it, what happens? Faith comes. Faith for that. Think about it. If God's word is a seed, it is a seed, but I'm saying, since his word is a seed, then the harvest of what you want is in that seed. It's in the word. If you want a harvest of healing, if you want a harvest of financial blessing, you've got to do what? Plant the seed. You've got to listen to the word. You've got to plant the seed. Get it into your spirit and keep watering it with the word. And you will get a harvest. That's what the Holy Ghost was telling me. If you would work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, you will not have room enough to contain it all. That's the harvest. So the harvest is in the seed. It's in the seed. That's what we keep saying. If you want to know what that farmer, what kind of harvest the farmer expects, look at his seed. What is he planting? If he plants a little bit, he can say, I'm getting a big harvest. And you go, no, you're not. You're not planting much seed. You can say whatever you want. I'm getting a big harvest. And if you're not feeding and you're not planting seed from God's word, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're kidding yourself. And that's why faith needs to be developed. Start where you are. And that's why we don't make shipwreck of your faith. Don't say things that you're not developed in that area yet. Work what you have. If you know, we keep saying that. If you need medical help, go get medical help, but keep working your faith. Keep working it. Keep working it. You know, we share these stories. Charles Capps, when he was alive, you've heard me share this. I heard him share it live back in the early 80s. He was at a Kenneth Copeland convention, and he talked about how he liked to fish and hunt, and he said, every time I would go into the woods, I'd get poison ivy. But he started feeding on the word of God. He was young in the Lord in this area. And he said, so what did I do? I'd go to the drugstore, get calamine lotion, and put it on my skin. But I kept feeding and speaking the word of God. I kept speaking it. And every time I go into the woods, he said, this took about a year. But he said, every time I would go in the woods, I'd still get poison ivy. And he'd say, well, I guess it's not working. He said, oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. You don't put your seed in the ground and come out tomorrow and go, well, I guess you ain't getting a crop. Oh, no, it's working. It's working. The seeds are germinating underground. It's working. God's word is working in you. That's why we take that time every service. God's word is at work in me. It's working mightily in me. That's not just a catchy saying. So what happened with Charles Capps? He said it took about a year, but he said he went into the woods, no poison ivy. He said he went over to a poison ivy vine and he grabbed it and stripped it down. Stripped it down, said it never bothered his skin. He got a harvest. He got a harvest of healing. His word is medicine to all my flesh. But it took time. What did he do in the meantime? He put calamine lotion on. Why? Because he didn't want to itch. And it's no different in every area of our life. Don't make shipwreck and say, well, it ain't working. No. God's word is spiritual, and it needs to be planted in my spirit and watered. What does that mean? You continually feed on it, continually work at it. I'm telling you, every person in here, in this room, has the capability of being a millionaire. Some people go, and you go, yeah, right, uh-huh. Well, see, you don't believe. Every person in here has the ability to walk with no sickness or disease. See, isn't it interesting? We get more amens there, but when we say every person in here is capable and has the ability to be a millionaire, it's quiet. It's quiet. Isn't it interesting? So I'm saying, yeah, every person in here, God's not moved by you having some money. It's where's your heart? What are you going to do with it? So I say that because it's an interesting response. I see it. Every person in here has the ability to be a millionaire. You know, I'm going to say this. Go look it up for yourself. because I have his biography at home. He lived in the 1800s. His name was George Mueller. Some of you may have heard the story. He was from, I think, in England. And he started an orphanage for children. And he started developing his faith. And in the latter years of his life, he built this huge, I mean, in today's standards, it would be a multi-million dollar, you know, orphanage with buildings and so forth. He said in his latter life, he said, it's as easy for me to believe for $1 million as it is for a dollar when I first started. So he was believing in millions, and this is back in the 1800s. So every person has the ability to operate as a millionaire, but you have to believe God's promises and start where you are. Start believing for $100. Brother Hagin shared this when he was alive in ministry. He said, I started believing for $5,000 or whatever the amount was. And then he said, when that came in, I doubled it. And I believed for that. And when that came in, I doubled that. So he kept increasing and believing God for double. Does that make sense? So if your faith is at $50, believe for $50. When it comes in, double it. I got 100. And you begin to call in the money. Call it into your household. How many like living on a budget? I mean, we all live on budgets, but the point is, you can have more, sow more, and believe God. Begin to trust him and begin to say, I've sown my seed. I expect you, God, to bring in the finances because I've sown. I'm the farmer. I'm sowing my seed, right? It's no different from my health. You've got to operate. Without faith, it is not possible to please God. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is what? A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Well, I'm telling you, I'm diligently seeking him. Hallelujah. So God's word, 1 Peter, what does it say? Being born again is 1 Peter 1, verse 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which what? Liveth and abideth forever. I like the Passion Translation. I'm going to have them put this up because this just gives us a different translation of it. In the Passion Translation, 1 Peter 1, 23, it says, for through the eternal and living word of God, you have been born again. Now look what this says. And this seed, what is the word of God? Seed. And this seed that he planted within you can never be destroyed. But will live and grow inside of you forever. So when you leave this body and go to heaven, or if Jesus returns and we're caught up to meet him in the air, the seed that we've planted in our hearts, the faith that we've developed, it'll live in us forever. It will live in us forever. And I've heard some kid around and they'd say, you know, if you don't learn it here, you're going to be in Faith 101 class when you get to heaven. Because what you learn and walk in here and develop, you will take with you forever. It will live inside of you forever. Hallelujah. Let's look at the Amplified Classic of Hebrews 4:12. Anybody getting anything today? This is the Amplified Classic, Hebrews 4:12. And I like this translation. It says, for the word that God speaks, remember Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you are spirit and life. This says, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. So words create images. And so when you speak, it creates an image. If you keep talking negative, you're going to have an image of something negative in your life. That's why when we express something in faith and say, every one of you could be a millionaire, and it's quiet. No, and here's my point, because you don't have an image of it. Your image has been what the world has said. It's hard, can't make it, it's difficult, we got to live this way. So when the word says, you can apply faith principles in this area, and you can live above the world. If you've listened to the world so much and you hear that, you go, does everybody understand what I'm saying? Because the image has been decreed through what? Words. Words create images. And so if words, negative words, you get an image, you keep listening to that, you see yourself that way. You don't see yourself the way God sees you. His image of you is in the Word of God. And He expressed it. Hallelujah. I know it gets quiet. So, let's look again at 2 Corinthians 4:13. And I've entitled this today, Dare to Declare. Dare to declare. You need to dare to declare what God has said about you. 2 Corinthians 4:13 in the King James, it says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. They can put up the Message translation of 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says, we're not keeping this quiet. Not on your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, I believed it, so I said it. We say what we believe. Now, a lot of times that goes on the negative side. I'm just going to tell you what I believe, and I hear you. But we need to speak what we believe from God's word. And we've said this. When we're persuaded of something, it moves us to action. You know, I heard Mark Hankin say this, if you can't get your mouth in motion, you're not going to move your mountain. If you don't speak, you're not going to move your mountain. Because that's what Mark 11:23 says. So we need to, and if you're working these principles, then keep working them because harvest time is coming. That's what Galatians 6:10 says, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. So when we speak, it's your faith is speaking. It's what you expect. So if you expect, you know, that's why a lot of times just check up on what you're saying. If you're not satisfied with what's going on in your life, look at what you're saying. Look at what you're speaking and begin to evaluate that. Just, you know, as they say, do a checkup from the neck up. Begin to speak. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have this. And you're basing that on what? A promise in God's word. And I'm speaking it. And I'm going to have it. And we're going to walk in it. You know, there's nothing wrong. You know, I've done that for things that I own. You know, for things that maybe you own. You know, I've shared this a few weeks ago. I said, if God promises us, our words are containers of something spiritual. We need to voice activate. This is what I was sharing a few weeks ago. We need to voice activate what we believe, not just believe it. And so even in the area, if you own something, and this is why we were sharing this before. You may have a home and you may have a mortgage. Why don't you decree how wonderful would it be, how many in here, not to have a mortgage? Yeah, woo-hoo, woo-hoo. No mortgage, no car payment, right? Well, all things are possible to them who just think about it. That'd be nice. All things are possible to them who believe. And if you believe something, then you speak it. So is it possible to then say, I believe that this 30-year mortgage is going to be paid off in 7 years? And you go, there's no way, I didn't got the money to do that. Well, all things are possible to you who don't believe. You don't believe, so be it unto you. But for the ones that believe, God will supernaturally open doors for that to come to pass. So why not set, you know, Brother Hagin used to say this when he was alive. He'd say, I set my goals high. I'd rather set my goals high and get the half of them than set them to nothing and get all of them. So set your goals high. Stretch out beyond where you say, no way. Unless God comes in and does something, there's no way. Good. We're reaching out past your ability for your mind to even grasp, how am I going to do this? Set your goal so high, you know you can't do it. It's not possible for me to pull this off. But God can. And his word is spirit and life. God wants to raise our thinking and our sights to such a place where people go, see, that's what God wants. He wants him to be seen through us. How better a way? People go, well, I don't have a mortgage. What do you mean you don't have a mortgage? Oh, yeah, I believe God. What? How'd you do that? Or you walk around and say, well, I don't take medicine. What? How do you do that? I'll tell you. It's a witness of the power and demonstration of God's power in your life. And it'll be a witness to people. Because just what I read in 2 Timothy, right? People are scoffing at God and mocking God. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So I'm just encourage you, if you got a mortgage, you got a car payment, you got something that you are tied to, begin exercising your faith. Say, you know what? We're going to pay this off in whatever you choose. It's as a man purposeth in his heart. And you start working your faith. Start working it and see. I can tell you what happened to me when the Lord spoke that to me. I began confessing the word. And within a very short period of time, weeks, my finances changed. Didn't take long. Didn't take long. Because I did what? I acted upon something that he exposed to me that I needed to change. And I did. And he did. Yeah. So God is good. So we release, how do we release the ability of God in our lives? By speaking his word. So we release his ability in our lives when we believe him and speak it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's freeing when we don't have to turn on the news and go, oh my God, look what's happened. Oh no, what are we going to do? I'm not in fear. Because I have a God that's working in my behalf. It's God who's at work, what? In me, both to do and to will of his good pleasure. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think I'm going to cut loose here because we've been going a while. And, you know, it's like eating at the dinner table. You know, you get full. And you're just nodding your head after a while. Yeah, okay, that's good. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So take what you've got and start working it. Take and apply it in areas of your life that you're not satisfied with. If you're satisfied with working to pay your bills, go at it. You know, I have a cousin, he's in heaven, he went to heaven recently, but I knew him not a lot. I mean, we stayed in touch, you know, a very large family, and we stayed in touch somewhat, a first cousin. We spent more time, you know, of course, our parents got families together, as you all, and you get older and families and so forth, and you don't spend as much time. But he didn't know the word to the degree that we know it. He loved Jesus. He retired when he was 43. R-E-T-I-R-E-D. He retired when he was 43. He had a business in Westchester. It was a school. Young guy in his 20s. He did very well with it, sold it, made a lot of money, and retired. But he got busy in his church. See, this is what I'm talking about. He got busy in his church, and this was a Catholic church, but he got busy starting nonprofit organizations, helping churches, doing God's work. And his kids said, I've never seen a more busy retired person. But he wasn't doing J-O-B to pay his bills. Everybody understand where I'm going with this? Wouldn't that be such a freedom that I'm going to work, but I'm not going to work to pay my bills? Because that's a pressure that we shouldn't have to live with. And we need to do what? Change our thinking. Have a heavenly mindset with it. And believe that God wants that for me. And say, you know what? And if you're not, if your mind isn't there yet, keep thinking about it. Maybe you desire that. And I'm not preaching money or anything. I'm just talking about being free in Christ and walking in faith and decreeing some things, whatever that is in your life. If you're not satisfied with an area, it's going to take faith to change it. That's what we're talking about. It's going to take faith to change something. There's some things happen in our life that we don't have any control over. You know what I mean? Stuff happens. It can just happen. You could lose a job. Somebody could pass away. Something could happen. But you're still going to have to operate in faith. Still have to operate in the faith of God. Amen. I think I've just shared enough from my heart today. And it's the same thing here. If when you come to service, see where I go is the healing power of God is present to heal. Wherever his word is preached, his healing power is present to heal. So with anyone, even in this room here, if you need healing in your body, he's present to heal that. And you can walk out of here free of it. And so, yes, we've had people that have come through recently, and I understand all of that, but I never know who's here or not who has some symptom in their body that they want to be free of. And so if that's you today, you know, we'll pray with you, get in agreement with you, lay hands on you, and you'll walk out of here without it. See, faith, you don't need, you know, let me just share this. If you come expecting something from God, you don't need to wait for somebody to express something. Say, you know, we're here, if you want hand. If you come expecting because you are in faith, you just say, hey, lay hands on me, I'll be healed. That's what the woman with the issue of blood did. That's what the centurion did. He said, heal my servant. And Jesus said, okay. And he said, no, I'm not worthy that you should come into my home. Just speak the word. The woman with the issue of blood, she went to Jesus. She wasn't waiting for Jesus to come. She went expecting something. And that's where we have to get our faith to that place of saying, I'm expecting this. You just lay hands on me and pray with me. I'll receive it. And that works in that way, whether it's for your body or your finances. I've sown my seed. I'm expecting it. I'm expecting it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.